Carry on.
Thank you for inviting us. It's great to be here. And this process started before I came to Central. I was in Bicycker and Strathmore, two little small churches. I mean, Bicycker is bigger, but Strathmore, you've been there. It's a church plant, pretty much. We can call it a church plant. When I came, it was five people in a classroom in Strathmore, in the school there. And you've been along the way with me, helping me with the process of growing that and developing that. So I started the reach even in Bicycle in Strathmore. But right after I started, about a few months, the conference moved me back to Calgary Central, where when I came, we already had some people working on this strategic planning on reach and visioning and mission and so on and so forth. So I just want to tell you one thing, that it always starts with one passionate person, okay? It always starts with one person. You might be that person in that church. It started with this guy right here, with Terry LaChance in Central. Central has on books almost 1,100 members, okay? So it's a large church. But still, you need one person to be enthusiastic and passionate about this process. Usually, members expect the pastors to do that, but pastors come and pastors go, right? So it has to be the members that initiate that and come with the idea to the pastor. That's what happened with Terry. He really liked this process. He presented to the elders, then to the church board, and Pastor Barber at the time was there. He said, just run with it, you know, and he allowed him to do it. So when I came, because I'm passionate about this, I joined that team, okay? And from there on, it was myself and Pastor Felix, our associate, then our youth pastor joined. And it wasn't just the pastors, it was a team of lay members, which was very important. We had about four or five at a time, a lay member. So it's very, very important. We went through the reach strategic planning. We didn't want to reinvent the wheel. And I'm, you know, we're a big church, and if, you know, we could have probably started something new, but we said, why reinventing it? There was, you know, people who had committees at North American Division for years trying to come up with all these tools that are available to us. And we said, why starting something new? We just went through that. And that's why they started. So we started step by step. But before we went through that, we needed to know what our church needs. What are the needs of the church? So we did a few things, and you talked about assessment already. So one of the things we did a questionnaire, and we developed it ourselves. So I'm going to put it on the screen and show it to you, the questionnaire that we did at the survey. Oh, thank you. All right, so the survey looks something like this. And there is lots of them. There are other surveys online, and the Reach one has a survey. So when we were looking at that, we could have come up with a lot of different ideas what we want to do, but we wanted to see what the people are saying this church needs, okay? You need to ask feedback from the people, what we need the most, what are some programs that we need. So we developed this. These are some questions. We can share this with other churches if you want to, if you're interested. This is what worked for us. We took a reach from North American Division that we took BC Conference. Maybe you already told them about that, but if not, BC Conference has a very good strategic planning with reach. The whole conference, you go on their website, I think, right, Terry? You go on their website and you find good material there. So we took and adopted some from the BC Conference. So very, very good material. You know, in some aspects it's better than North American Division, and, you know, it was adopted to a specific conference. So we took this, we ran through that, you know, to find out what the people want. Now, the important point about this, I want to show it to you, is if you do one of these assessments, you need to present to the people the results, okay? And this is what we did. We did the response. We took the survey. We have one person in our church that is very much into numbers and likes the details. His name is Dex. And he was one of the influential people behind this. And he's an accountant. He works in finances. So he likes looking at the numbers. So he took all the data. We had about 300 responses from people. What I did, you have to get your pastor on board with this. I preached a sermon during a Sabbath worship hour. I preached a sermon about the vision, okay, of the church, where we want to go. And then I allowed about 10 minutes during the sermon. The deacons came and passed all the surveys. And during the sermon, quietly, we had music in the background. I interrupted my sermon for 10 minutes. And then people filled up the survey. If you try to give it home to them to bring it next Sabbath, they'll never bring it back. Okay? You'll never get it back. So we decided to do it this way. Everybody was in the church at that time. The deacons passed it quickly, and people filled it up, and it was very, very well, you know, the response was very good. So when we looked at this, you know, we put the age, the response rate, and things like that. So level of engagement, that's very important. You can see here in Central, 44% said they need some challenge. They're happy to come to church, but they need some challenge. So that's where you look at this and say, okay, we can start some ministries. 23% said required some training, okay? And here you see, okay, 23% people need some seminars, some training seminars, okay? So we start thinking about some training weekends and so on and so forth. Then church survey results, in your opinion, is Calgary Central providing meaningful programs and activities for its members? That means in-reach programs. Look at that, too many said only 3%. And then you had not sure, just right, and not enough, 38%. And number two, that's an important one. In your opinion, is Calgary Central providing meaningful and relevant programs and activities for community outreach? And not enough, almost 60%. So from here we said, well, people want to do that, okay? And as you saw from the previous one, there is one that says here, roles in the community. So are you currently involved? This is an important one, in serving in any roles in the church or in the community. Some said yes, and not at all, 40%. That's a very large number of people not involved in anything in the church and outside of the church, you know, doing things for the church. And if not, why not? Now look at this, too busy, 26%. We know a lot of people are busy, right? So that's, you always, 3% said they're afraid of doing things, you know, that, you know, people are afraid to go talk to the neighbors and things like that. But that one in the box is very important. Never been asked, 37%. And we looked at that and say, well, we have to improve our communication to people and asking people. Yes, it is a large church. You can't ask 1,100 people, you know, individually, everyone, but we have to come up with a better ways of doing that. And then 33% said, I'm familiar with roles and church ministries. Once again, that's a communication problem. So in our church, what we discovered, because it's a large church, we had to work on a communication problem. We had a lot of communication there, you know, breakdown between what's happening in the church, and people said, we don't even know what ministries are operating in the church. That's like 33%. So what I'm saying, I'm not going to go through the whole thing, but what I'm saying here, you have to find out what the people in the pews are saying, the feedback, okay? And then according to that feedback, then you put your strategic planning together. And that's what I'm going to, in the next few minutes, I'm going to present to you with Terry together. We're going to go through the REACH program. We call it Central Ministry Plan, for like 3-year plan. All right, let's see, view. All right, so this is what we took from North American Division. So, overview, REACH is a strategy developed by North American Division. And this plan was developed about 2 years?
It'll be 3 years this October.
3 years this October since the process started, okay? So, it takes about, by the time everything was ready and presented to the church board and then to a church business meeting, we presented it for the whole congregation, it took us about a year and a half to 2 years by the time the plan was developed. So it's a process. Don't think it's going to happen overnight, okay? It's a slow process, and a lot of people give up in the middle because they, you know, they don't see any results. But you have to be, you know, going steady at it. So we explained the process to the people. We put the team members and mission and vision. It's very important to start with this too. Develop your vision statement and your mission statement right from the beginning, okay? So we said to engage the members of Calgary Central in sharing Christ's message of hope and wholeness and our vision very short. A vision has to be very short, and everybody has to remember. We say experience and express Christ. And then we even developed the logo, experience and express Christ. So everybody, when they see that, they know what we're talking about. Okay? So this is what happened. But I forgot to tell you, do you want to talk about the other two events we did before we developed this to get feedback from the people?
Sure. I'll have to hug you here so you can hear my voice.
Here you go.
Yeah, so what we did, and I just want to back up a little bit too. It's very important that this is a bottom-up movement, because when this first initiated, the suggestion from the board and that was, yeah, we'll come up with some ideas, we'll set objectives for the church, and that's what we'll do. And my response was, no, it has to be member-driven, because if it's not member-driven, it's not going to work. You have to have programs that the members are interested in, and if they're the ones bringing up the ideas and the interest, there's going to be buy-in. So that's very important. So when we did the questionnaire, you'll notice it was all geared around, where are you at kind of spiritually and involvement in the church? We wanted to know that. What we also did too, we had a visioning potluck. So we invited the entire church to attend, and we had boards around the church, and as you'll see on the REACH acronym, under each REACH, we had a little description of what that subject is about. We asked for member input under that specific topic, and we gave them little sticky notepads. So they wrote down their ideas, how, you know, what we could do under those topics. And we stuck them, and then we as a group, we correlated them and came up with the most common comments and ideas out of each, under each heading, and that became our focus for our ministry plan. We also then took our survey and we formed focus groups. So we took those responses that Dex had correlated there, and we gave it to our focus groups, and we said, what do you make of these answers? Because we wanted to make sure too that it wasn't, as our group, a preconceived idea and direction we wanted to go. We wanted to make sure that the members kind of took those ideas and gave us feedback. So we took all these different ideas and then we correlated them all into one common document, putting the top three or four ideas, concepts from each heading, and that became our ministry plan.
Just one thing about this, why did we do this focus groups? Because when we took those sticky notes, we looked through all those things. When we do that, when we look at that as leaders, we might read something into that, okay? But we want to hear what the members really hear there, okay? So as a pastor, I might say, well, somebody said something, we need this. And they say, no, I hear something else, okay? So it's very important. So what we did, we developed two focus groups. We strategically chose those groups. We chose like a young adult, youth and young adult group, because we wanted to hear what the young people are saying and how they see ministry happening in the church. And then we chose middle-aged and older people's focus groups. What a focus group is, if you've never done it, it's between 6 to 12 people. Keep it small and get them in the room. Present them, the ideas that you have, and ask them to see how we can implement those ideas, okay? And then people just brainstorm. It's a brainstorming session in a very small group, a small environment. From those focus groups, we got pretty much our strategic planning. We had some ideas, and they kind of coincided with ours, right? And they had the same ideas that we had. So from there, we put the strategic planning together. From the focus groups, from the questions, the survey, and from the potluck lunch that we did with the whole church with the sticky notes. And that is a very good exercise for people. People loved it because they get to participate, and that's how you get buy-in from members, when they have a voice. And they, now it's very important that when you do that, you announce that not all the ideas presented will be implemented. Because otherwise you might get some very upset people in there. They might be upset with you that their idea was not implemented. So you have to make it very clear. All of these ideas will be taken to the visioning committee, because we had about 6 people on the visioning committee. And we'll look at all those ideas, we'll take those that are more frequent, and we will decide which ones we'll implement. So it doesn't mean that if you write something on a sticky note, it will be done. All right? So people need to know that. All right? So let's move on through one at a time. We have to be done in about 20 minutes. So, yeah. Yeah.
And they were taken to the
visioning committee. Yes.
Visioning committee, which has got how many people?
It's about 5 or 6 people.
Six people.
Yeah. So that's yeah.
How many groups do you have for the focus group?
How many groups? We had two focus groups. We have youth, young adult group. So between 25 to like 40. You know. And then we had 40 and up, you know. So because we wanted both groups to give us feedback, all right. So that's what we had, yeah. So these are the core values in REACH. You probably went through that. R stands for revival and transformation. So you see, under each one of them, we put 1, 2, 3. These are the ideas that came out of the focus groups and all the assessment that we did. What are biggest needs in these areas? Okay. You see, number one is small group studies. And you already talked about small group studies. Central, we've tried for many years in Central to have small group studies. It's very hard to organize with a large church, you know. But this time around, because it was always upfront, we presented all the ideas, we got the buy-in from the people. It was their idea, okay? It came from them. When we started small groups, and Pastor Kirkham helped us to launch those last year, well, this year in February, right? We got about 23 groups in the church that formed, it's been going very, very well. But it all because it came from them. They said, we need this. Okay. So you see, it doesn't come from me, from a pastor, or from the pastoral team top down, you know. It comes from the people. And that helps a lot. Go ahead.
I have a question. So all these ideas come to the
visioning committee. Revival and transformation.
Did you just get 3 ideas, or did you get a whole
bunch? We got a lot of ideas.
How did you just pick 3?
We got a lot of ideas, but these were more, so if there was like 5 or 6 people that said the same thing, then this is important, or, you know, so if only one person says something, you think about it. So if you have it repeated a few times, it means people, more people need that, and more people want that, and that's how we got that. Yeah, we spent
300 responses.
Yeah, we had about we had sticky notes even more than that, you know. So what we did, I was leading the young adult and youth with Dex, and then Terry and somebody else was leading the other group. It took us about the young adult group, we met for about 3 hours, I think, one time. Your group met twice, I think. Because they needed to talk more, and some people missed that, so they said, we really want to give input, so they met twice. So it depends. You go through that and you see if it's late and the group says we need more time, schedule another appointment, schedule another time to meet and do it. So as long as it takes to go through all the ideas, that's the whole point. So
did you have in your focus group the 5-point structure?
Yes, absolutely. Yes. So we started, everything, it has to be structured. People like structure. I'm a very structured person, and I like structure, and I find out that people like structure. It's easier to work that way. And you have it set for you from North American Division. It's very easy. Go through these 5 points. Where do we lack, and what do we need in the area of revival and transformation? That's in the brackets, you see what that means, relationship with God. That's what revival. So that means pretty much, first we need to revive ourselves before we can go out and do ministry. Okay? If we are not reformed and revived and transformed members ourselves, we can't really go out and do it. So let's start with that. So small groups, it's a big thing for revival. It's huge. Okay?
The different topics, but then to choose the, like your 3, I them with three color dots, red, yellow, and green.
Okay.
Red, yellow, green. And each person then went to each sticky note and put either a red or a yellow or a green, whether it's the most important to them, the second important, the third important. So then you get, when you get, say, one of the somebody's idea that was in a sticky note gets a whole bunch of red dots, that means your whole church is, or the whole group is in favor of that one.
You can do it any different way, and that's a perfect way to do it. What we wanted to do, so we got those ideas, we brought it to the visioning committee, and then we went through those. We see, you know, if this is repeated 5, 6 times or 10 times means it's important, so we put it up there. But then an important point is that after we decided what to do, we emailed this to the church board members and we presented it to the church board as well. Okay? It went through the church board and then church board had some questions. We have changed some things after they gave us feedback. So you go through a few levels before you present this to the church. So we went members, visioning committee, church board, then we presented to the church business meeting. Okay, and said, this is our plan for the next 2 to 3 years, all right? And everybody voted on it, and we have it, you know, we're moving on. But the way you did it, it's perfectly fine. So there's many ways to decide which points you're going to do. And listen, keep those ideas, because this is 2 or 3 years. Next 3 years, you can bring the other ideas, okay? So just keep those ideas. You can't implement everything in 2 or 3 years. It is. It changes all the time. Yeah.
I'm interested to know how the focus group works, because that's a lot of information they're working with. So did you divide the 300 responses to the two groups, or you gave them all 300 responses and then they have to wait through, done and give?
So let me show you a quick PowerPoint presentation how we did it. Okay. This is for the youth and young adult one. All right. So what we did, this is Dex once again developed this. He took this information, put it on PowerPoint, and we sent it to the young people that were involved there. So we said, that's what we said, we'll run through a couple questions linked to the following areas, and you give them the areas that we're going to be discussing. Programs, church involvement, community outreach, skill development, wellness, and relationships. All right? So before you have those people there, give them an idea of what you're going to talk about. All right? So because this came out, so then we said review that touch church survey. So this is where we attach the church survey that we did with all the information so they can review it. Yeah, no, because when we got all the responses, we put it in a presentation, I already showed that to you. It kind of summarized the survey, all right? It summarized the survey, all right? I showed that to you. So we send it to them and say, review all the summary of the survey, okay? When you come, you're already prepared, and they start thinking about this before they come. You don't want them to come there and to present it to them right there. You want them to be ready before they come. So you wanted to...
Yeah, I was just going to say, basically what you said, we had summarized it. So say under revival and transformation under the R, we may have had 50 yellow sticky notes, but out of those 50, we had gone through them and consolidated them and probably found 5 or 6 or 7 common themes.
Right.
So those were already sorted out. So your 300, by the time you got to the focus groups, was whittled down to a very small number.
And that's the work of the visioning committee. It's a lot of work. It is a lot. We used to meet every week for 2 or 3 hours for the longest time. We met once a week for 2 hours or 3 hours because it's a lot of work. So you need to have dedicated people, and it's good to have the pastors buy in. It's good to have pastors there as well. It's critical, because when the members saw that I'm so involved with that, I was preaching up front about the mission, about the vision. I was giving them time to give feedback. People finally saw and say, oh, it's real. It's happening. Okay. And we did a survey, and I said, oh, we'll never see the results. In 2 weeks, we had the results on the screen, presenting to them the results, and said, that's what came out. And this is where we're going forward. Oh, it's happening. So people start to buy in. And when we did the focus groups, when we asked, nobody declined. Nobody said no. Everybody was so excited about this that everybody we asked. Now, the focus groups have to be very strategic. Okay, so the visioning committee, we came up with the names we wanted on the focus groups. All right, so that's very important. You don't just open up and say, hey, who would like from the church to be on the focus group? You want the people that are involved and have vision and, you know, can strategize and things like that. So you don't want to just open it up to everyone. You strategically pick the people, you contact them, you call them and ask them to be on the focus group. Okay, so that's how. So anyway, let's run through the other ones because we're not going to finish this if we don't. So the R, we did. Okay, let's move forward. Revival and transformation. So when we looked at those few points for each one of them, we said, how can we accomplish that? Okay? And this is the work of the strategic planning committee or the visioning committee. And so we did identify leaders. Then we did a seminar to, you know, the training for the leaders, for the small groups. And you can see in bold there, it's important to have specific dates by which you want to accomplish that specific point. Okay, that's very important. When you do strategic planning, don't ever say, well, we'll do it next year. We want to be done by January 14, by January 11 to 24. So you have to have specific dates. You might not accomplish those. Some of those we have not accomplished yet. And we'll just move them forward to next year or in 2 years, whatever. But it's very, very important to go through all those points and have specific dates. So I'm not going to go through the specifics. If you want, we have here one printed and we can send it to you as well. But we can email that to you.
I have the copy, so I'll get them from you.
Yeah.
And I'll just send them to
And you can see, this is what it worked for our church. This is specific to our church. You have to do what works for your church. So the important point is, when you do all the assessment, take those points and do something about this. If you don't do anything, members will get so disappointed they will never want to do it again. When you have that enthusiasm going, do something about that and start planning. And so we developed all of this. Then education and for discipleship, Terry, you want to mention a few things here that are important?
Yeah, we just, as you can see here, we had our main topics, so education, inspiration, which is kind of what we do prior to the main service, where we have Sabbath school. We talk about different issues in the church or in the conference in general or in the world church. We felt that was a very good time to educate our members for specific topics. Okay, you know, workshops, potlucks, theme preaching schedule, which Pastor Gannon developed. So every month now we do a theme, and so all the pastors preach on the theme. It just brings a bit of cohesiveness, and then we in addition to the sermon, we would have potlucks or activities for the church that would work within that theme. So people came to kind of expect what was going on. If they wanted to invite friends where a topic was relevant, they could do that. And it just gave, I think, all the pastors an easier time too in planning.
Yeah,
your...
It worked very well, and even with our worship coordinators and everything, people can plan their songs, special songs, you know, special music, and even kids' stories. Everything would be around that theme of the month, okay? And like June, we have the discipleship month. Then I had some seminars in the evening for Vespers, discipleship seminars and things like that. So everything during that month, I think it's been working. We started this year in January for 6 months right now, and it's been working very, very well. So we'll continue. It just consolidates everything together and puts everything in a perspective.
It's a bit of unity.
Yeah,
because you know what to expect.
So these are some things that youth integration, church ministry. I'm not sure in your churches if you have a lot of youth. This was big for us. We have a large group of youth right now. So a lot of people wanted to see more young people up front in Central, young people doing more things. So that was a big point for us. And Pastor Alan Perez, he was our youth pastor. He developed that. Alignment in the church, that was one of the most important for us, and we're still working on this one. Alignment in the church, every ministry has to align together, you know, and be on the same page. And this where communication, lacking communication, was a big one in our church.
Yeah, we found as a group discussing this, I think that was one of our longer discussions, and it became very clear to us from all the comments we'd received that that's probably the one thing we were doing the most poorly at as a church, was communicating. So this became our kind of our longest document.
Because, as I said, a large church is hard to communicate to everyone. Not everybody's in the church, and you can't call 1,100 people to tell them what's going on in the church. So what we did, first of all, we took care of our website. Website had to be revamped and redone, and we did it. Then we're starting developing a church app, and it's going to be launched probably in about 6 or so weeks. And through the app, we communicate with people. Now everything is communication through devices, right? So you have to be out there. Then we need to revamp our bulletin. But what we decided to do is to develop the app, because we're printing so much paper every week. We're spending so much money. I don't even want to tell you how much money we spend at Central just printing the bulletin every week. So we said, why spending so much money that probably half of the congregation, they come on Sabbath, don't even, they throw it out afterwards. So now our church app is going to have the bulletin, all right? It's going to be a free app. So you come, you download the app on the phone, and you have your bulletin on the phone. And young people, believe me, that's what they want, okay? And young adults, and even some elderly I see with the smartphones going around, okay? So we wanted to reduce the cost and communication through this app. Another way of communicating, because events were getting lost. Like, we have a special event, and people are not coming. What's happening? Then we ask, oh, but we never heard about it. We never knew about it. So we said, how can we improve that? So what do we did, there is a church, it's called Remind app. It's very easy to establish a Remind app. There is a thing on the phone, and we send a message, and we have about 250 people signed up. So when we have an event that we didn't have time to announce on Sabbath, we send a message, and everybody receives a text message, and they know everything right away. So all those little communication things, you know how they mean a lot. They mean a lot to people. So a small thing that we did to do that, we also developing right now our church photo directory, which took a long time, because we have so many people, we don't even know each other in the church, you know. So that was very important for us. So we're doing that. And we are developing, number 1.6, we're trying to put a LED sign outside so people, when they drive by, they can see all the activities that we do and things like that. So these are some communication things. In your church, you might not even apply any of those things. But for us, this was the biggest point, the most important thing in Central, because we were lacking there, and people just missed a lot of things because we weren't communicating.
How many bulletins did you print before?
We print
400 bulletins a week.
And now we don't print at all?
No, we haven't launched the app yet. What we're going to do, we're still going to print some, because elderly still want to have paper bulletins. So what we're going to do, we're going to try to reduce by half maybe, see how it works, and then adjust from there. We're never going to remove completely the paper bulletin, all right? But if we can reduce by half or maybe even a third, and whoever wants a bulletin will still print some. So that's how we decided to go about. Yeah, a lot of people don't read the bulletin. So we have about 2 minutes. Community outreach and evangelism, this was an important one as well. And we developed in the past year and a half, we developed a lot of community programs. Now, once again, for a small church like yours, probably, whatever, if you have a bigger church or not, don't undertake too many things at one time, okay? Take two or three things a year, but do them well. For us, we could do it because we had teams working on it, okay? This team is in charge of that, the app. This team is in charge of that. But if you're doing a lot of things, just take two things at a time, okay? But do them well. So evangelism and outreach, we have a lot of community outreach programs, depression recovery and anxiety recovery. We have help, divorce care, health expo. Pretty much we do it every year. We have many others that are going on in the community, and they have been developing about a year and a half, in the past year and a half. So But once again, all those, I don't have to worry as a pastor about those. There are teams, people that are enthusiastic about that. And they come to me and say, can we do that? Absolutely. What do you need? And then we bring them to church board. We decide how we can help them financially and support them, you know, promote it in the church. That's my business as a pastor. The rest is people that are doing that. So church plant, we're not going to talk about that because most of you are not probably planting a church, but our church is planting. We start planting in January. We're going to plant a church. Our church, some of you have been to Central. It's always packed. We need room, so we decided to plant, and our church plant is going to happen.
It's a good decision.
Yes, and Pastor Kirkham has helped us. He came to our church board when we decided that. Our church has had this plan for almost, what, last 15 years? But we've been in the construction and rebuilding the church. So now we are done with that. Now we can move on with other things, and the church plan was number one. And there's a lot of enthusiasm about church plant in our church. Now our core group is working on the plans, which we started together with Pastor Don Kirkham, and it's going very, very well. So now let me present to you these last two things. In your church, if it's not too big, but some of you have a church that is big enough, we've developed a church organizational structure. Once again, this is communication. Because this is what I found out. I came in as a senior pastor, and there was something happening. Like, can I borrow some chairs or do something like that? And everything is coming through the senior pastor. And I said, you don't have to ask me about those things. There is a structure that you go to a person that is in charge of that. But people didn't know who is in charge of different departments. That's once again the communication problem. And I said, we need to develop a structure, present it to the people and say, this is how it works. So we didn't want to put a structure together. I didn't want one that it goes top down. You know, pastors are here, church board, and then the rest of the ministries. I see this like, you know, like a hierarchy, and I didn't like that. I wanted a circular one that everybody is in the this circle, okay? So we put in the middle church board and pastoral stuff, and then we divide it into five different categories. The whole church is divided into five categories: in-reach, service, outreach, worship, and communication. And every department and ministry in our church falls under these five categories. We have leaders under each category, and the bigger category, and then we have leaders in each little department or ministry. And then we did this. We put it this way as well, and then we did this, a directory. Why is this important? Because a person can go on our website. It's on the website. And if, for example, they need to know somebody from audiovisual, they don't need to call me or, you know, and ask if I can buy a microphone. They can go straight to the person that is in charge. So we went through this, we put this together. We didn't publish the phone numbers. What they do, we ask them to call a church office and they can get the numbers for each department who is in charge of every ministry and department. So this has been helpful to us to put a structure together for the whole church, so people know how we function, okay? So that's pretty much our strategic planning. If you have any question or comments, okay, we'll take it for 2 minutes.
Any questions? Was it so thorough in the presentation that you just don't have questions?
How long did this all procedure?
Well, it took us about a year and a half by the time we were ready to present it to the church. So, but that from the time they started thinking about the vision and mission until, then we did the focus group. So about a year and a half by the time it was ready to be presented.
How often do you review your
strategy? That's a good question. We want to do it once a year, review it every year. So now in November, at the end of the year, we want to review it and see what has worked, what hasn't worked, what we need to adjust. So once a year, we're going to be reviewing that.
And then we'll also then tweak it and add some of those items we didn't put in our first year's plan. We'll add them into the 2018 plan.
Seth? Yeah, one last time. Can you explain just how you got the members to give feedback. So there's the survey, and then there was the... So, and was the survey something that you guys had constructed, or was that from the Mission Driven Church book?
We have pretty much worked on that. We took from them, from the REACH, and from the BC conference.
The survey itself was something I originally kind of developed the concept, and then presented it to the group, and then we all tweaked it, and then we went from there. So, and that way you do it unique to your church.
Right. Okay.
So it was that, and then it was the visiting potluck, we called it. Everybody stays, has food, and then we put the sticky notes, and you know, it was, some people do that way. And then we did the focus groups afterwards to review all the results. But they came to the visioning committee, we picked the most important ones, and then we divided them into categories, which I'm telling you, it's a lot of work. Yeah. It's hours and hours of work, yeah. But you need to go through that. You can't bring 300 responses to the visioning committee. So it was Terry and it was Dex. Dex, this is the guy that really likes numbers. He went by himself through all the 300 responses and categorized them, put them, you know, in a chart. So it was so much easier. So you have to have some people that are really passionate about this.
Yeah.
And work with that.
We at Central, we've done the same kind of thing, but we took somehow a different route, but not so different. But one thing in common, I think, it takes a lot of hours.
It does.
We've met every Saturday for 3 or 4 hours, and people were complaining, but it was just a lot of information. First of all, we started by reading the book, The Rich.
Yeah.
We are the Rich team, and every member of that team had to read the book from cover to cover. And we discussed chapter by chapter, and then we start the whole process. You are way ahead of us, but
it takes a lot of work.
One thing we did too, when we had our potluck and all those ideas and whatnot, there were some things on there that we looked at that they were just doable, like right now. We didn't have to program it for months down the road.
Yeah.
So we just did it. But then what we did is we made a report to the church on Sabbath. And we said, you know, these ideas were presented, they're done. So you're getting buy-in then, because I'm sure you know, if you try initiatives in the church, things don't happen, skepticism grows, and people get discouraged. So we always wanted to show them the victories,
yeah.
And you knock those off right away. And then they start believing that the next thing's going to happen, and then they start to participate.
It's very, very important. I didn't know how important it is to really communicate to the congregation what's happening and how it's happening and what are some things already been done and so on and so forth. It's very, very important. So, and we pretty much, for the few months in a row, we were almost presenting every Sabbath something. You know, this happened, took place, this is how it went, and things like that. So people have an idea where we stand. Maybe one last question, and then... Yes.
Well, if you have something going with a pastor and then they're gone, then you start over again with a new pastor. If you have this kind of a church plan, you bring in the pastor and say, here's our plan.
Absolutely.
And you work with it.
Yes.
And then you have continuity with your whole church functioning.
And that's why it's important. When the pastor leaves, it's not like, whoa, what happens now? What do we do now? Only we continue very easily because we have something in place that can be adjusted and we move on with different plans.
Sometimes a year or 2 years without
a pastor. Yeah, it happens.
So when you have this kind of thing...
So what I encourage you to start the process, okay? Get one or two people. If you're a small church of 30, 40 members, get 4 people on this visioning committee and start the process. Let's start working. 2 hours a week, you know, we're meeting once a week, we're working, starting from the beginning. What is our vision? What is our mission? What we want to accomplish, okay? Where do we go from here as a church? And that's, you know, and then things will come on, you know, as you go every time, more and more things are coming. And it's been a blessing to us at Central. We had a lot of challenges as well. It's not without challenges, but we're moving forward, and God is blessing us, and I know God will bless you as well.
One quick question. Did you guys start the whole vision process with the survey and then you met as a visioning committee, or did you meet?
No, it was about how long it was until
we presented. It was almost a year
before we presented the survey.
Before we presented the survey. Okay. What we did as a group is we kind of created a skeleton framework of what we kind of wanted to see. Mm-hmm. But then we went to the church for their input to mix it into that, mm-hmm. so we had a working document. And one thing, if I could comment to what you said, I think it's very important, especially if you don't have a regular pastor, to have a vision and a direction of where your church wants to go. Yeah, because it just helps you function regardless of whether you have a pastor or not. And it gives purpose to the members. When you have a vision, if people have purpose, they're going to get involved.
It prevents somebody from shooting off on somebody.
Exactly.
One thing I liked about the program too, ours probably isn't exactly like yours, but it's somewhat along the same lines. But we have members or non-Christians, non-Adventist type deal, but we can involve them in ministry.
Absolutely.
They feel a part of us because they're in service.
Yeah. That's, they belong, yeah. Thank you very much. Sorry, we took more than...
Give him a hand.
Thank you. There you go.
I've been impressed with the process that Central has done. So I asked them if they would come in today, because one of the segments, as we go through the different steps, is developing a strategic plan. Now, honestly, when it comes to how you handle the material in the book, you may decide that you're going to do everything just through kind of a strategic plan and work it that way. But we've gone through this week the 8 steps. You may find for your church that that's the simplest way to accomplish your goal, is to just take the book, the manual, and go through it step by step. And that can be your strategic plan. And when you get to the place where it says develop a 2 to 3 year, you can use some of the techniques that they have done here. I'll get from you the materials. I'll send it out to the ones that are here. You can look it over and digest, synthesize, and I think you'll find these things helpful. And so the one thing is follow through. You know, as you mentioned, if you start something and don't complete it, then it's awfully hard to get enthusiastic about something again, right? And so follow through, communicate enthusiastically, and get your key leaders on board. Because if you don't have your key leaders on board, the people sense that in the membership, you know. And keep the communication simple. Use stories about things that are happening. You have a document in your manual, in the appendix of your manual, that will help you in the follow-up. And then just follow through as you have it described in your manual. I think you'll find it helpful. And then have a church-wide celebration when your process is completed and you're just about ready all to be translated then, once you've finished. But really, folks, when we go through a process, it doesn't mean that we've arrived. I know when we do our visioning, we do it about every 2 years. Because everything is changing. People are changing. The world is changing. Don't think one time is it. No, we keep working. It's dynamic. We keep working. And Jesus is happy because it's his church. We are representing him. We're in his ambassadors. And it makes Jesus happy to know that we're excited about the church. It's important to us. And so for each one of the steps, we have the follow-through plan that we take and recommend to the church board. So that ends our time, and we're going to end with prayer. And if you have any questions, we're going to have our group website, not the website, but the group email plan, and just ask questions. We're going to send you material, and we're going to grow together. We'll all pray for each other. We will grow together. And next year, when we come back, we're going to have excited stories to tell. You know what? These things really have worked in our church. So Cambrian Heights, Joe, you're going to come back and say, guess what we did? And so we'll have stories to tell. And so Lester, we want to pray for Canmore Church. We prayed for all the other churches, but not Canmore. Can we have you come up? And as we end, we'll pray for Canmore. And Lester, how many years have you been at Canmore?
Number 21.
Have you really? Wow.
Since I retired. But I'm not pastoring the church.
No, I know.
I didn't retire the pastor.
You know, Lester has done great in evangelism, and of course he's been a conference president and so forth, but I had no idea you were there 21 years. That surprised me. But was there a church there before you went to Canmore?
Started just about a little bit before we got there.
Was it? Yeah. Okay.
Canmore actually is part of Central. We
okay.
I'm the pastor there too.
Okay. So come on up, and we're going to just end. Yes, Francisco. And you're a part. We're going to pray for you too. We haven't prayed for you, have we?
Yeah, no.
Okay, so we want you up here.
The prayer requesting is for the South Atlantic Mission in Nicaragua. It's a mission, the most new in the country.
Everyone just
financially to the point that they have been laying off pastors. 70 something churches plus group. And the prayer is for the Lord to come and rescue and help the mission financially in one way or another. I don't know how, but yeah. You know how he can do it.
Yeah. Please come, Francisco, and join. And we're going to pray for your group in Nicaragua too. It's a great commitment. And
by the way, this is a crucial time for Canmore Church.
Oh, is it?
Because our pastor, he's our pastor.
Okay.
But with 1,100 members, we see him about once a quarter.
Do you really?
Yeah.
That's amazing. You see him once a quarter.
Yeah. You see me once a quarter, Felix, and then Alan. Well.
Yes.
So you have a pastor once a month, or?
So no, we usually have a lay pastor, a volunteer pastor, and that's going to be changing in the next few weeks.
And it, so that you won't be having?
We will be having a different one.
Oh, I see.
Now the transitioning, the transition is happening. So.
Oh, I see. Okay. I don't know. I know the main point. I just don't know the sub points.
That's all right.
Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for the church. We thank you that we could just get together and discuss ideas and ways that we can improve your church. We don't have it all figured out. But Lord, you'll help us. As long as we're committed and dedicated to you, you'll help us in our churches so that every church here will thrive. And I'm thankful that we could spend this week together. And I want to pray for two church groups now. I thank you for Ken Moore and its witness over 20 years in a beautiful part of Alberta, a beautiful part of the world, really. And I thank you for Lester. He has inspired me for many years. And Lord, I thank you for the church there. And right now they're going through some type of transition, which I don't know about. But Lord, I pray that whatever happens there, that this church, even yet this year, will see a breakthrough. Mm-hmm. That Lord, that beautiful community will see the beauty of your message, and you'll see your work thrive. I pray for it. I pray for Nicaragua too. And Francisco, his heart is just so entrenched. Yes, he lives in Ontario part of the time, but 4 months of the year he spends in his home country of Nicaragua. And Lord, he is so burdened because they don't have any money there. They can't build the churches, they're laying off pastors. And he is so concerned about how this could be enhanced. So Lord, you have answers. And he's going there in September for 4 months. Lord, anoint him. May there be a breakthrough there too, we pray. And also we know that the Hansons are going and doing mission aviation. So Lord, we just pray that your work will be honored and glorified. And as we end our time together, Lord, may it just be a beginning. May it be a beginning of exciting things. And we have stories to tell that we can share among each other of ways that we can have to enhance your work and complete your mission. Amen. So we leave ourselves in your care now and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Thank you all for coming. God bless you. And if there's any way
before
that I
can... Before you go.
Oh, before we go.
On behalf of all these people and on behalf of the Alberta Conference Office, we have a small gift to you.
For me?
Yes, as a token of appreciation for the
work
you've been doing.
Okay. Thank you. I thought it was my privilege to do it. You know, I mean, I love this.
The privilege you get something. Yeah.